All right, Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself and said, how many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. And I pointed this out, I think, maybe on the first Sunday morning that we read this. Notice that punctuation right there. Notice that punctuation at the end of verse 17. That helps you to see into that young man's emotion. That helps you to look into what he's feeling. When he said that about coming to himself and his father has hired servants and bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger, he says that with an exclamation. He's saying that with intensity and great feeling and great emotion. Probably screamed it out. Amen. Probably run the hogs off. Amen. Because he was out in the field. He was out in the field feeding the swine when he said that. Amen. But he was sick of where he was at, wasn't he? Verse 18, I will arise. See, your emotions will stir an effect. He got emotional. Not emotionalism. Emotionalism is when you get stirred up about nothing. That's emotionalism. But when you get stirred up about something and it changes your life, that's not emotionalism. That's God using your emotions to stir in you commitment. He got emotional about where he was at and what he needed and no doubt the mistakes that he had made and began to reflect back where his blessings was really at. And then he said in verse 18, the effect, I will arise. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee and am no more worthy to be called thy sons. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the privilege, dear Lord, to be in the house of God, have the word of God that we can read and study and hide it in our heart. We pray, Lord, that you'll unctionize us with power, spiritual enablement, spiritual ability. Dear God, that not will bring attention to me as a person, but dear God, I'll bring attention to you, the one that called me. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. Lord, we're leaning on you. We're asking God that you, though we've already been in these verses for service, now the fifth, dear Lord, I pray that it'll be fresh. I pray that you'll allow the word of God to come alive to us and allow us to come alive to the word. I pray. Do what needs to be done. I'm fearful at the direction that some are taking. Just as sure, Lord, as I'm standing behind this pulpit and having read this passage about the prodigal son, Lord, and praying to you about it, I've got people in this church that are headed to the far country. They're well on their way to the far country. They've got the far country look in their eye. They've done got the far country tone in their voice. They're done showing desire. They're done showing direction toward the far country. And dear Lord, you're sending these messages. Dear Lord, no doubt about it. Timely. Lord, is an arrow from your bow. Lord, on target. Lord, I pray that you will speak and deal with all of us to know that it's the devil's design to put us all in the far country. Get us out of the will of God. Get us out of the work of God. Get us out of the house of God. I pray you'd help us, Lord, to be militant about our stand. Lord, help us, dear God, to be determined. By the grace of God, we are not going to walk away. We're not going to turn around. We're not going back. We have nothing to go back to. Thank you, Lord, that you took care of that. Lord, our best is yet ahead. Lord, anything that's worth living for is yet ahead. And Lord, I thank you for that. Help us, Lord, to stay focused, Lord, in the forward direction. Lord, anytime I look around, Lord, I get confused. I get discouraged. Lord, I pray. You said it, Lord, about putting our hands to the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom. Lord, help me not to look back. Help me not to look within. Help me not to look around or look down. Help me to look ahead and press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you for the good liberty to pray. I pray, dear God, you'll move in mighty power tonight for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I feel like running now. Thank God. Woo! Praying's real, buddy. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Well, glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. How long's it been since you got happy in prayer? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory, Jesus. Amen. Oh, amen. Amen. Y'all may not feel none of that, but I feel it. Amen. And it's not based on feelings, but every once in a while I feel a breeze from another country. Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Boy, it's real, ain't it? Amen. Bless his name. We've been trying to preach a message, a several part message on about the prodigal son and his trip to the far country, and of course his trip home from the far country. We've looked at several things about this passage of scripture, and as we've stated before, that the prodigal son story is in chapter 15, and chapter 15 is a tri-part parable. It's a parable in three parts. One parable, three parts. And really the interpretation of it is that it's dealing with lost things. Deals with the lost sheep, and then the lost silver, and then the lost son. And showing how that God is able to work in saving people. I'm glad he can. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, I've got great news for you. News that you'll not hear on CNN, ABC, CBS. You'll not get it on Facebook. You'll not get it on nothing of no kind of news information. But I'm going to tell you some good news. You can be saved tonight. God is still in the saving business. And he does a good job at it. Praise God. It's not what he tries to do. It's not what he makes an effort to do. When he saves somebody, he really does a good job. Amen. In fact, he does such a good job, Brother Ron, there will be evidence of it 10 trillion years from tonight. Amen. Praise God. Woo! Glory to God. I feel some of it now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But though the interpretation deals with lost things, yet the application can be given to someone that has been saved and been at the Father's house, involved in the Father's work and will, and fellowshiped with the Father, and then was led astray, motivated, influenced to go to the far country. And we pointed this out in one of the other messages that this young man was not born into the world with a far country knowledge. When he was born into this world physically, he had no idea of a far country. And you and I was born into this world with no clue of what the far country is. So this young man, for him to want to go there and actually did go there, he had to be exposed somehow to the far country idea. Maybe it was through a friend. Maybe through a relative, a family member, somebody in town. Amen. Maybe it was in a song. Maybe, who knows? He might have read about it in a book. I don't know. But somewhere along the way, he was made aware of that beyond the Father's house, beyond the Father's will, beyond the Father's work, there is a far country. And though he never had been there, he probably went there in his imagination before he ever went there in practice. You need, young people, moms, dad, all of us, we better be on high alert of our thought life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If the devil can get you carnal and fleshly and worldly in your mind, it won't be long till your morals will follow. He had far country thoughts before he ever took a far country trip. Had to. You know he did. He didn't just stumble out the front door one day and just say, well, I don't know which direction I'm going. He knew exactly where he was going. Hey, man, don't let that, listen, at least try to record that in your mind. He had far country thoughts before he ever took the far country trip. And his trips, his feet, followed his mind. Hey, man. So you better watch your mind. And I'm going to tell you, this is a whole other line of message, I know. But most of us are defeated and discouraged because of our mind. Amen. I guarantee you that's right. You know why? I can see your hands. I can see your feet. I can hear your words. But I can't see your mind. That is your private. That is your secret part and of your life, and you can be on a church pew and wicked in your mind. You can hold a church position and still be in your mind wicked and fall in the far country. But I'm just telling you, for whoever it's for all of us, I believe. Listen, if we don't watch out, if we go there in our mind, we will end up there in practice. And we all know people that have. That's what ought to stir an alert to us. We all know people that have. I'm talking about we all know people that blazed seemingly a trail for God but are not even in church tonight. I believe I had rather die than to get out of church. And let me say this for just whatever it's worth. Listen now. Listen carefully. I've been preaching 31 and a half years, Brother Silas. I could prop, Brother Brian, this is your testimony. And you're one of the few that I can count. I've been preaching 31 and a half years, and I could probably count on two hands. Maybe on three. Maybe. I don't know if I could come up with 15 names. Of people that got out, that ever got back in, and stayed with it. Now I hope that goes out like a voice of thunder to all of us. Amen. I mean, I've seen them get out, and you have too. And I've seen them go to an altar, and I've seen them make it like they've gotten right, but they don't last long.
Brother Brian, I want to shake your hand, brother. You're one of the few that I know that had gotten out of the will of God years ago or whenever it was, that got back in and has stuck with it. Praise God, Brother Brian. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. I don't know how I got on all that. But we need to be alert and aware of our potential of winding up there and being a disgrace. If I lost my testimony tonight, I'd just soon be dead. That's just me. Amen. That's how much I value my reputation and my testimony. Do you value yours? Now listen, now what I just said doesn't cross grain with what Miss June testified about. You should not be so concerned about reputation that you're fickle and flimsy to where whoever you're around can move you and bend you and cause you to change so that you can have a reputation. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about having a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ and do nothing to compromise that. Do nothing to change that. But anyway, I got to get off of that. Lord, help me, Jesus. Amen. But we started dealing with the selfish request that is given in verse number 12. Give me. And then we moved on and we talked about the sinful route in verse number verse 12 was to give me. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger gathered all together and took his journey where? Into a far country. And then we talked about this morning in verse 13, the stripping ruin. Now remember, we made this statement this morning. The far country does not give, it takes. Now, he didn't go to the far country for that, Brother Ivan. This young man went to the far country thinking, look what it's going to get me. Look what I'm going to have. I've got my pockets full of money, and money can buy pleasures. Money can buy popularity. Money can buy positions. Money can buy promotions. Money can buy a lot of things. But when he got in the far country, he found out there was a whole lot of things that money can't buy. Money can buy a bed, but not rest. Money can buy a house, but not a home. Amen. 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 Glory to God. There's a lot of things money cannot buy. But he found out that when he went to the far country, that it took, because the Bible said, and they're wasted. And they're wasted. They're wasted his substance with riotous living. Staying with the Father and living at the Father's house and doing the Father's will and work, there's no waste there. Never said that he wasted anything at the Father's house, the many years that he'd lived there, the many years that he'd worked the fields there. There's no indication that he wasted. Listen, can I put it on record tonight? There is no waste serving God. The world now, the world will look at us, that far country bunch, they'll look up over the horizon to the Father's house and they'll say, yep, Preacher Rackley's wasting his time. He's wasting his life. He's giving himself to whatever will not produce much of anything. And Brother Randy, the far country crowd will look up and see you and see y'all and say, you know what? That's a waste. Sunday evening, summertime, school's out. Man, we could be down in at the water. We could be, my friend, kicked back. Who in the world would want to go to the house of God and listen to old spit and slobbering preacher? What a waste. Woo! Glory to God. That far country spirit crawl up on your shoulder when you put your tithes and offerings in and says, waste. What a waste. And those of you that give to our faith promise, mission support, or missions fund, amen, that we support our missions with, when you put that in that's above and beyond their tithes and offerings, how many times the flesh, which is the far country nature, says, what a waste. Are you listening to preacher? I'm probably getting a little mission plug in here even now. But I know, listen, I guarantee you that we've got people in this church that's given to missions on a monthly basis that would make a big house payment. We've got people that I guarantee you is putting mission money in to support missionaries that would take care of a big car payment. And I guarantee the devil and the flesh, them far country voices, slips up on your shoulder and says, now look, if you weren't putting that in the plate, you could take that and go down here and buy this and do that and do the other. And some of you are listening to that voice. Amen. Hey, man. Oh, yes, friend. But, oh, listen, there's no waste serving God. Will y'all pray for me? I'm getting hung up on these other things I've already preached on. Lord, help me, Jesus. Woo. I'd rather preach here as anywhere I know. Amen. But I'm talking about the stripping ruin. Look, if you will, at this. I didn't mention this morning. I overlooked it there. Let's look at it here in verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. Uh-oh, look what's now fixing the surface. He has not felt this ever. Not at the Father's house, he never felt this. Not up until this point he's ever felt this. And the Bible said he began to be in want. Talking about that stripping ruin. It stripped him. He has nothing. He's on the bottom. And now, for the first time, Brother Darrell, he is beginning to be in want. And that word want there means, it has the idea of being inferior. See, he's been superior all along now. But now he's not in the up position, he's in the down position. He is inferior to his needs. It also means to fall short. Get this word, everybody get this word. The word want means to be deficient. Not sufficient, but deficient. It means to come behind, be destitute, to fail, to lack, to suffer need. You know what one of the miseries is of the far country? And it'll be for me, you, anybody that goes there. You know what it is? Having needs and wants and desires that the world cannot satisfy. He had needs and wants in his life that the world could not satisfy. Listen to this. Now, you know those that I mentioned this morning, there's a whole list of them down through here that are in the active voice. Now, this is good. This is good right here. Meaning the subject is the doer of the action. When it says here, Brother Ivan, that he began to be in want, that is not active voice, that's passive voice. And you say, preacher, what does that mean? I wouldn't know unless I had some way of studying. Amen. I don't want you to think I'm an English major. Amen. You know that, but now surely. But I can study, praise God. But this word want is in the passive voice, meaning the subject is the recipient of the action. All these other things that have, give me, taking his journey, they're wasted, and all of that, and spend all those things, he did it. He was doing it. He was the subject that was doing it. But when the Bible said he began to be in want, that is, it's happening to him. He's not doing it. It's happening to him. He's on the receiving end. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, that is going to be a change that'll take place in your life just as sure as you're breathing. It'll go from the point of what you're doing and what you're doing and what you're doing. There'll come a point to where it's going to change. Or it's going to start being done to you. It's going to be start being done to you. He began to be in want. The far country was starting to wear him out. the far country was starting to affect him. Now watch this right here. Listen to this. I don't know how in the world I overlooked this morning. Look at verse 15. And this goes right along with that passive voice, Brother Mark. The Bible said in verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. I just got curious about that, Brother Obie, and I was wondering about what does that mean and all of that. Did you know I found out that those two words, he went, is also in the passive voice? At first, just to read it, looks like he's the one that's doing it. But no, it's happening to him. Now here's what it means. You ready? Here's what it means. He went means he was led. He went means he was carried. See, he was in charge up to this point. Now the far country's in the driver's seat. Now, my friend, amen, he's not in control. He's under control of the far country. And listen, the hunger and the want that he has, it's happening to him. And he's being carried and he's being led to join up with a citizen of that land. And that led us to what we dealt with this morning. Amen. Lord, help me, Jesus. Verse 15 was, there is a social reliance. There's the selfish request, the sinful route, the stripping ruin, and then there's the social reliance. Verse 15, he went and joined himself with a citizen of that country. He now is starting to live with them. He's starting to work for them. He's starting to serve them. Let me just say this very plainly, very simply. If you're not serving the Father, you will serve in the far country. You're not going to be the boss. You're going to be the servant. Amen. And I mentioned it this morning that his enjoyments became his enslavements. Amen. Someone said it this way of him trying to get out of the far country. I believe it was Brother Dwight Banks said that what he lived up, he found it hard to live down. Spend your time, young people, ignoring the preacher, ignoring parents, ignoring good advice, ignoring counsel, ignoring rebuke, ignore correction, and go on and do your thing. Go on and do your thing, and there'll come a time, as sure as your name is what it is, that you'll have a Lord over you and a master over you that you're not going to like. Because when he went and joined himself to that citizen, he depended on that man. He depended on him. You will have a dependence in your life for what others can give you and what others can do for you. How many people's like that? How many people is like that in our day? Amen? God help us. And when he joined himself, Brother Tim, to that citizen of that far country, which was one that was his habitat. That's where he lived. Why would a child of God ever want to go there? Why? I don't know. I don't have all the answers for that. Amen. But notice this. Soon as he joined himself, and we dealt with that this morning, soon as he joined himself with a citizen of that country, the Bible said he sent him. He sent him. He became employed. His enjoyments now has turned into a job. The fun has now turned into work. And he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Amen? I thought about that citizen. Not much said in the Bible about that citizen, Brother Brian, but I got thinking about that citizen. We don't know who it is. We don't have a name. All we know is that's where he lived. That was his dwelling place. That was his habitat. And listen to this. Lord gave this to me last night. That citizen right there didn't always own the big farm and have all the swine in the field. The Bible said he sent him into his fields to feed swine. So this man had a lot of property. But here's the point the Lord brought to my attention just as a food for thought. Here's a man that at one time in his life didn't have a farm. Here's a man in his life that did at one point, you know, when he was younger, he didn't even have no swine. He stayed in the far country so long that he got hooked up with all of the promotions and all of the pleasures. And now, instead of getting out of the far country and going somewhere else, decent, living somewhere where he ought to be, now he's in there and he's got houses and lands and farms and swine and servants. Could that be just a little side note of a caution for us that if you go to the far country and you stay there long enough, you not only will join yourself to the citizens, the habitat, and start adapting to their culture, but you also may come to the place where you start having some swine to feed yourself. Yeah. Amen? Right. And they won't be the other person, they'll be yours. Let me move on. I have got to move on. Notice this statement in verse 16. And the Bible said, and he would fain have filled his belly. He would have. If he could have had the opportunity, he would have ate the husk that the swine did eat. The Bible said he would have. And I looked up that word fain. And he would fain have filled his belly. And that word means to set his heart upon. I can't. Now wait a minute, I'm not talking about setting your heart upon a T-bone. Amen. I'm not talking about setting your heart upon a pork chop. I'm talking about the husk, the throwaway that hogs eat. He got in such bad shape. He got in such a destitute shape that he began to desire, he began to crave, the word means he began to covet, he began to long for, he began to set his heart upon swine food. You said, preacher? No, not me. Can I give you this? Lord, give this to me this evening. That's my problem. I keep getting stuff. Hey man, that's why I have humpteen points. It's because I just keep meditating on it and just keep getting more and more and more. Amen. Lord, give this to me this evening. What, listen to this, this is good. What would have been appalling at the Father's house is now appealing in the far country. Woo, mercy. If somebody would have come up to him when he was at the Father's house and in the Father's will, doing the Father's work, and said, hey, big boy, how about eating some husk? Do you want some barbecue husk for supper tonight? He'd probably snarled his nose and might even have gagged a little bit. Are you kidding me? That is nasty. Why in the world would I want hog food when I can eat at the Father's table? It would have been appalling. It would have been detestable at the Father's house. But now he's gotten so low. And I hope everybody's listening. Because he got so low, Brother Klepper. He got in such bad shape that now what would have been appalling at one time is now appealing. I don't think we're getting it. What one time he would have detested, he would have snarled his nose, he would have said, no way, no how, and no time. Now he's looking at it and saying, that looks good. Could we not get a message out of that tonight? That while you're here listening to preaching and got a King James Bible in your lap and you're doing good, when we talk about alcohol and drugs and immorality and wickedness, you're thinking, oh, preacher, no. And rightfully so. But if you go that direction and run with that crowd and join yourself to that crowd, my friend, it won't be long till you'll start saying, you know what? That preacher didn't have it just exactly right. He said he made it look bad. He made it taste bad. But you know what? It's really now kindly attractive. Somebody better get a hold of that. Amen. Listen. Oh, help me, Lord. If I don't get done with it, I'm going to preach. Amen. We'll do something else. You listen, your environment doesn't just change. Oh, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. When he left the Father's house and he went to the far country, listen, his environment changed. But it wasn't just his environment changed. His appetite also changed. What he would, listen, come on now, young people. What he would have never done at the Father's house, he now is attracted to in the far country. Best thing you can do, young people. Best thing you can do, mamas. Best thing you can do, grannies and grandpas. And that should have got us all. Amen. I want to tell you, the best thing you can do is stay underneath the fire-breathing, Bible-preaching preacher. Amen. That'll keep you exposed to the wickedness and the waywardness of the far country. Amen. Not me, preacher. I'd never do that. There's young people sitting right here today, and you mean it. You mean it. Preach, I'd never do this, that, and the other. I'll preach about fornication, and you'll say, preach, I'll never do that. And thank God you ought to make a commitment. I'm not going to do that. There ain't no stinking boy going to touch me. No girl going to touch me. Amen. I'm going to keep myself pure. Amen. All you have to do is get just a little distant and cold from the Father's will and work and ways. And all of a sudden, now you become of interest to that which once was forbidden. Oh, Lord, help us. I don't know if we're getting it or not, but I know one thing. I'm aware of in my spirit that I'm preaching a timely, hopefully a salvaging message. Can you imagine that? And I can't stress it enough. I'm telling you, I know for a fact, and you know people as well as I do that once stood against sin, that once preached against it or testified against it or took a stand against it, that are now in it. What happened? It didn't happen while you was at the Father's house. It wasn't there when you had the Father's heart and the Father's work and your best interest. No, it's when you started looking to the citizens of that culture and you starting to adapt to their lifestyle and you're starting to do what they do and go where they go and wear what they wear and listen to what they listen to. Yeah. Amen. You start, instead of you influencing them, they're influencing you. Yeah. And all of a sudden now, come on now, I'm telling you. I've slowed down a little bit. I was getting in a hurry because I was wanting to finish tonight. But I'm slowing back down because I wanted to go home. I remember as growing up, Brother Ivan, I remember my daddy telling me about beer and stuff. And I'm telling you, I thought all the whole time growing up that if you drink a beer, you're dead. Daddy made it look so bad, sound so bad. You know why? He was in it. He did it years ago. He was trying to divert me from that, making it sound bad, look bad. I mean, everything about it. He never said one good thing about it. And I still reflect on those days growing up as a child. I thought, I'll never, no, never, no, never drink. I'll never do it. It was appalling to me. My daddy made it detestable to me. And I remember it, Brother Silas. I'll never do it. Of course, I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved till I was 20 years old. But I'm telling you, dear friend, there was a time in my life to where I went away from daddy's teaching and daddy's instruction. Amen. And I started running with the bums and the heathens that was doing it. And all of a sudden, what at one time was appalling to me, what at one time was a definite no way, no time, no how will I ever do that. Now all of a sudden I'm of interest. And you better listen to this preacher. If I don't preach no more, you better listen to this preacher. Your interest is the forerunner to your involvements. Miss Debbie, write all these down. How these are coming out. Amen. Before Eve, before the devil could ever get Eve to actually partake, Brother Mark, of that tree, he had to arouse her interest. How many people have failed and have fallen into a temptation, my friend, because they got interested, wondering what it would taste like, wondering what it would look like, wondering what it would be like. If the devil could get you interested and keep you interested long enough, it won't be long till you will be involved. And God calls preachers like myself to stand before you. Do you understand I'm not giving a Bible lecture? You do understand that, I'm sure. You do understand that I'm not just giving you a little talk. I've preached on the prodigal son at times in the past, over the past 30 years. In fact, I've preached on a lot of things at times over the past 31 and a half years, but I've never bogged into this now 5 services and not even hardly halfway through it. I'm telling you, God is trying to send a warning to somebody, maybe more than one, if not all of us here in this church, about the far country. I'm not going to beautify it. I'm not going to make it look good. I'm not going to make it sound good. You'll never, hello Tokyo, you'll never be interested in the far country listening to me preach. You'll never, listen, you'll not run around with Preacher Rackley and have desires for the far country. Amen. Amen. I want your friendship. I want your fellowship. I want to tell you what, if you think I'm going to walk off the front porch of the Father's house and follow your hide to the far country, you are nuts. I've done come too far to turn around now. I will not, by the grace of God, walk away. I have nothing to go back to. Yes, hallelujah. Woo, glory to God. I want to tell you when I got in, January 20th, 1981, on the second night of a 7-week revival, when I got in, Brother Carroll, I didn't get in on a trial basis. No, sir. I didn't go up there and say, well, I'm going to go try Jesus. No, friend, I had nothing. My life was a wreck and was headed down the tubes fast. I went to an altar to give God the scraps and the broken pieces. As Miss Amanda sings that song, broken pieces, just piles of pieces. That's all I had. And when I went to that altar, I knew, listen, y'all heard me tell it. You could tell my testimony as good as I can. Does anybody know yours? When I start telling some of the different aspects of my testimony, some of you could stand up and finish it for me. Why? You've heard me tell it so much. Amen? And you're going to hear me tell it again and again and again and again. Why? Because it's the greatest day in my life. Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. Does anybody know yours? Soon as I start with mine and say January, some of you already got it finished, January 20th, 1981, second night of a 7-week revival. You already know that. Why? You've heard it. Does anybody know yours? But I knew when I got up out of that altar that night, the search was over. I knew there'd be no Miller Low Life for me no more. I knew there'd be no Bud Stupid in my life no more. I knew there'd be no more dance floors for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Amen. Yeah. Amen. I knew it. Amen. I knew it. I knew my life was changed. Amen. I knew it was over for me. I knew I wouldn't be going back to the S-curve, and that's our little side of the road partying place. I knew I wasn't going back to the S-curve. I knew I wouldn't be going back, listen, up on East Fork. I knew that they wouldn't see my hide no more. Why? God saved me from sin. God saved me from sin. God changed my life. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. I don't know if y'all get nothing, but I'm telling you, I'm just about that close from getting happy. Amen. Oh. And you know why I like telling my testimony? Because I relive it. When I was over here right then just a minute ago, looking down right there, hey, just about 31 years ago, that's where I was at, Middle Fork Baptist Church, out 2 miles from Rosamond, North Carolina, just a little community beside of the road. Boy, when I'm over here, hallelujah. Woo. Oh, and I look over there. Oh, I see a life that was just now getting ready to get started. Hallelujah. Oh, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Oh, I wouldn't trade nothing for knowing Jesus. Amen. Take all the world. Just give me Jesus. Amen. He satisfies my soul. Glory. Hallelujah. Bless His holy name. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord, help us. Hey, amen. Amen. Feel like a kid with a new toy. Amen. Every time I tell it, it's still fresh. It still blesses me when I think about going to Calvary by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. And some of you are feeling a witness on it. Amen. It made me wasn't January 20th in 1981, and it may not have been on the second night of a 7-week revival, and it may not have been on the right-hand side in the altar at Middle Fork Baptist Church, but it was a somewhere. It was a sometime that you bowed and you did business with God. Amen. And I do really, hey, get to go to heaven. I really do. I really do. As Brother Luther Spivey says, I really do. Well, whoa. Glory, glory. Shep Reed, what are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know. I just swim around in the water. Amen. It's all right. Come on in. Water's fine. And it's plenty deep. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, we never got anywhere. Amen. I can't help it. Y'all just have to pray for me. Amen. Brother Ivan, if I'd have just said, well, I've got plenty to preach. And when I left this morning, I told my wife, I said, there's no way I can finish tonight. And that's what I had. And I just sitting there on the couch, looking back through it again, rereading, just looking at it some more. And boy, Lord, give me that about he would have fain have filled his belly with a husk. And the Lord give me that little old thought that's been the last few minutes of preaching. What would have been appalling at the Father's house is now appealing at the far country. What if I hadn't opened up the Word of God again today? When's the last time the Lord gave you something out of the book? That is my livelihood. I'm talking about my spiritual life. Brother Mark, it's getting fed from the Scripture. I'm telling you, if I go days and I don't get nothing, I'm getting nervous. Amen. And God may just speak to you when you lay down at night in the bed, you better have a scratch pad laid close by where you can write it down. There's people that claim to be saved and God never speaks to them. If there are some like that in the building tonight, you'll have to be the one honest enough to admit it, and you ought to be troubled about that. Does God ever speak to you from His Word and through His Spirit? Well, I don't know really what we're going to do. I feel like just having a spell. And I've got a lot of preaching to do. And we didn't even get up to where we cut off from this morning. We've been talking about the strip and ruin social reliance. I'm not going to deal with it. But it is, are you kidding me? We are just now getting to the turning point. The next point is going to be the stirring realization. Verse 17, and he came to himself. Amen. Could I preach a minute or two on that? I know some of you think, oh Lord. Preacher, you don't know nothing about no minute or two. The thing is, is the Lord giving you something? That's what you ought to think about. The stirring realization. And when he came to himself, verse 17, everything prior to that has been downhill and negative, and bad and bleak. But now it's changing. And when he came to himself, a stirring realization. And by the way, I just thought I'd let you know, he's back on the active voice now. He's back on the active voice, meaning he's making some decisions. Except now he's starting to make some good ones. See, if you make decisions to go in a bad direction, you're going to have to make reversal decisions to turn around. There is the stirring realization, a pivot point, a turning point in this whole story. Come right out of verse 16, where he was desiring, craving, coveting the husk the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I just thought about this. How eye-opening and sobering the bottom is. He was just going and going and going and going. Though it was down and down and down and out and out and out, he never turned around till he hit the bottom. And it became a reality to him. He began to realize, this is not good. I can preach everything I know, and it won't do a thing for you unless you listen to it and respond to it by faith. Listen, don't go to the point where you have to hit the bottom before you start turning around. I am fearful, and I've said it all the way through these messages. I am fearful that we've got some that's going to turn out to be a testimony of what I'm preaching. I'm sad to say that. But Brother Carroll, I'm fearful that that's in the works. Does it have to be that way? No. Listen to preaching. Receive this, not as the word of man, but as the word of God, as it is in truth. According to Thessalonians. Don't receive it as a word of men. If that's the way you're listening, oh, it's just a sermon, it's just Brother Rackley preaching, and it's just, you know. If that's all you're listening to it as, it won't do a thing for you. But if you listen to it as a word from God sent to turn you from the far country. Right. And the sad thing that's bothering me is that those that I know in this church, whether they're here or not here tonight, that have got the far country look, starting to have the far country ways, they're not even bothered by it.
I can see some of your far country photographs, and you're just as happy as a bug in a rug. Hello. What I would not be caught dead wearing, you can wear with a smile. Hello. What I, as a pastor, would not let you clean the toilets wearing in this church, you wear outside the church, happy, smiling, tickled to death. That is a shame and a disgrace. That's a shame and a disgrace. Amen. He said, preacher, where are we going now? We went from shouting to plowing. I believe you ought to live right. And here's the thing I'm going to end the service with tonight. If you're happy in the far country, you're probably not backslid. If the far country fits you and you're tickled to death with it, and you have adapted to the cultures and the clothing styles and the and all that goes with it. If you like it, it just suits you and it's you. You're probably not even saved. Did I say that clear enough? If you like the far country, and I mean just love it on and on and on and on, I would really be checking up to see if I really did know the Lord. Because a saved person can get out of the will of God. I want that to be very clear. A saved person can get out of the will of God. A saved person can do things that at the Father's house you'd have never thought you'd ever do. But here's the point I want to make. And I asked a lady one time that used to go to church here. I went and sat on her, I had a preacher with me, I sat on her in her living room, and she told me all this stuff that she does and has done. And I said, whoop, whoa! I said, I don't want to know what you've done. I done heard too much. I said, I don't want to know what you've done. I want to know one thing. How do you feel about it? If it don't bother you to curse and rant and rave and all these other immoral things she was doing, if it don't bother you, listen, you are not backslid. Because even a saved person, when they get out of the will of God and they may do things, and amen, that's not right and pleasing, I want to tell you the Holy Spirit of God's going to eat a hole in you. The Holy Spirit of God is going to jerk your chain. You might be doing it, but you won't be delighting in it. The Holy Spirit takes the fun out of sin, buddy. If you can sin and go to the far country and live that life and love it and enjoy it, I would check up to see if I knew the Lord. You say, preacher, what's the big deal? The big deal is, if you're not saved, you're one heartbeat away from hell. And listen, hello, church members do go to hell. If you're, amen. It don't matter if you're a member of this church. As far as I'm concerned, best church in the country. I mean, we're not near where we need to be. Are you listening to the preacher? We're not near where we need to be as a church, as a whole. But I want to tell you, you can be a member of this church, and God forbid, but you can be a member of this church and lift up your eyes one day in the flames of an eternal hell. I wouldn't want to go to hell from nowhere. There's no good place to go to hell from. Nowhere, nowhere, nowhere. But I'd sure hate to go to hell off of Rogersville Baptist Temple Church pews. Look at the truth you've heard. Look at the light you've been given. You say, well, if everybody goes to hell, everybody's going to be on the same level. Everybody's going to be in the same place. You're going to be in the same place
But there's degrees. Yes, sir. There's varied degrees in hell.
Yep. Amen.
And the more light you've been given and the more truth you've been exposed to, and you go, you reject God and you leave this world and die and go to hell, you'll have the greater. The Bible talks about a greater damnation. And if there's a greater, there's a lesser. Amen. I believe there'll be degrees in heaven. I believe there'll be degrees of glory. I believe there'll be ranks in the kingdom. And it's being determined now by how you live and what you do for Jesus. Everybody's not going to be on the same level in heaven. We're going to be in heaven, we that are saved. But you think that we're going to be on the same level with Paul? You think people can flip-flop around, never read the Bible, never get serious about the things of God, and is saved yet so as by fire? No rewards, no nothing. And God's going to let them shine as bright as Paul does, did, or is, or will? No. Well, preacher, I just tell you right now, I'm just going to be tickled to be there. Is that right? Well, preacher, I'll be content with a cabin in the corner. You got to be kidding me. That may be a song, but it's not worth singing. Why in the world would I want a cabin? I've got more than a cabin now. Why would I want to go to heaven and live in lesser than what I'm living in now? Well, my Bible says that in my Father's house are many rooms. Why in the world would I want to go be excited about living in a room? I live in more than that now. And if you got a so-called Bible that says that, you're thrown away. Why would Jesus say, I'm going to go to prepare a place for you, and he's talking about a room? Help us, Lord. I hate living. I hate staying in a stinking motel now. All that is a room. We're not going to heaven and living in a motel. Hallelujah, amen. I've got a mansion. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that's why you don't get blessed. This, the Bible's for believers. The Bible said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's all stand up.